History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is great to be with you, one and all. I am Bart Winkler. This is the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz is alongside. 888-710-4ISN is the phone number. 888-710-4476. I've got a question for you, Carlos. So I went to Chicago for the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Big deal. It's a big deal. My kid's first time being in Chicago. And I kept telling him for weeks, whenever we were downtown Milwaukee, I would be like, okay, this little like 3-block radius where there's taller buildings, think of like every like it's more than that in Chicago. So I think he was, I think it was a good treat for him. I think what he liked the most is you get in the taxi cabs and, you know, he doesn't have to sit in a car seat. He sits in the middle there between mom and dad. I don't know how safe that is, but that is what we do. I think he liked that aspect of it. He also liked the hotel pool, and he liked there's a store on Michigan Avenue where you can just fill up a bag of candy. And we went to town on that bag of candy. it cost us $30 for a bag of candy.
Holy crap!
We did not realize it was you get. There's every candy you can think of, and you put it in a bag, and you check it out based on the weight. And we thought it was going to be like $15. I don't know why we. It was $30, and, you know, we got too many heavy gummies is what the lady at the counter told us. That's what she said. She says, you went too heavy on the gummies.
Those yeah, well, were they heavy. Laced with stone?
There's stone gummy, rock gummy, brick gummy, all the favorites. We got in a cab, and on Chicago, we're on 670 The Score for 3 hours a night. Go, Cubs, go! Cab driver's got 670 The Score on. Should I have been like, you know, I'm on this radio station most weeknights with the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah.
Should I have done that?
I'm name dropping it myself to people who can't give me anything at all. I walk around with a shirt that has my name and my handle on it. I'm all about shameless promotion.
Yeah, but what would he say? Like, oh, cool. Oh, I don't listen that late at night. That's what I thought. That's what I thought we'd get into. Because it was during the day. I don't know what hours they keep. It was during the day. But we had a good time. Chicago's a nice place. You know? I think that's the extent of my Chicago.
Chicago's a nice place? That's it? That's the takeaway? It's one of the greatest cities, dare I say, in the world.
You know, we got your Chicago dogs. We got your Chicago pizzas. You know, we did all the things.
Did you get your red hot dragged through the garden?
I don't know what that means.
All right, so you weren't in Chicago long enough.
No.
All right, it's a... So my wife, bless her soul, is used to like the New York hot dog, which is literally bun, dog, ketchup.
Oh.
And that's it. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I grew up on Red Hots, which was bun, dog, no ketchup. Although I do like ketchup. I'm not going to be one of those people that frown on people that said, no, you can't put ketchup. No, I'm good with ketchup. But you need your mustard. You need your relish. You need your little celery salt. You need your tomato. You need your pickle. Your peppers. I can never pronounce it, but you know what it is. It's the hot stuff. Mm-hmm. All and some onion. Throw all that crap on top of the hot dog and make sure that bun is poppy seed and you got yourself a good old-fashioned Chicago Red Hot dragged through the garden. Delicious.
I had whatever they serve at the Harry Carey's restaurant on Navy Pier.
I don't know what they serve at the Harry Carey restaurant at Navy Pier. I don't think I've ever been there.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out next week.
Now, there's a whole wall with celebrity pictures on it there.
Are we on there?
To that place. Should I have been like, excuse me?
I think we go with our picture and be like, excuse me, you forgot this one.
Look, right next to Vince Vaughn here. I'm on the score 3 hours a night in Chicago. I think you should put my picture up at the Harry Carey.
I agree.
Should you do that? That was a nice time. It was a nice time being on the road. You know who else is on the road? Is the Milwaukee Bucks.
What a segue.
A little bit of a West Coast road trip. And they have not had Damian Lillard the last few games. And they might not have Damian Lillard for the next couple of games. He's been diagnosed with deep vein thrombosis, which, as we know, we've talked about this earlier this season with Victor Wembanyama. These are blood clots. So he's on blood-thinning medication. He's going to go with regular testing. The Bucks are saying his health is the number one priority. This is something that it's hard for guys to play through. I mean, Chris Bosh had it. And so I don't know what this looks like for the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, obviously, we want Damian Lillard to be okay. But I don't know what this looks like for the Milwaukee Bucks, who may once again have to go into a playoffs without one of their key guys. So they won the title in 21. And then the next year, in a series against Chicago, Middleton gets hurt. And he misses the rest of the playoffs. And Chris Middleton was still all-star caliber player at that time. Then the next year, Giannis gets hurt. Then they panic and make trades, get Damian Lillard here. And then last year, Damian Lillard and Giannis both miss games in their first-round series against the Pacers. And so it's been 3 years in a row where the Bucks have had an injury that has kept them from advancing in the playoffs. Now, I don't know if they're good enough right now to beat any of these teams that they might have to play, whether that's Indiana or Detroit in a first round, the Knicks. And they're certainly not at the level where the Celtics or Cavs are right now, but it would be another year that would come to a screeching halt because of an injury. Now, it's not going to look good for the coach of this team, Doc Rivers, who many people like to ridicule every chance they get for various reasons. I think, you know, I feel for Doc a little bit because I do think that the level of piling on to him is higher than the level of what he has deserved. What really makes it easy to pile on Doc Rivers is the different failures he's had in the playoffs. And I'll just name you some of them. So, in 2003, he was the head coach of the Magic. They had a 3-1 lead in a series against Detroit. They lost that series. He became the head coach of the Celtics. They did win in 2008, so that was good for him. But a lot of people say he's riding off of that. He's riding off of that team. The following year, against the Magic, the Celtics had a 3-2 lead in a series. They lost. The following year, they had a 3-2 lead in a series against the Lakers. They lost. In 2012, Doc Rivers had a 3-2 lead in a series against the Heat. They lost. In 2015, as the head coach of the Clippers, he had a 3-1 lead against the Rockets. A 3-1 lead. They lost. In the bubble, Doc Rivers had a 3-1 lead against the Nuggets. As the head coach of the Clippers, a 3-1 lead. They lost. In 2023, as a coach of the Sixers, he had a 3-2 lead against the Celtics. You know by now, they lost. The man has become very good at losing game sevens. So, in an interview at Anscape.com, Mark Spears did the Q&A with Doc, and he had asked him, do you ever think about coaching in the NBA bubble when the Clippers blew a 3-0 semifinals of the NBA playoffs to the Denver Nuggets? Does that loss pain you? He said, no. In the bubble, I had a group of guys that didn't want to be there. Lou Williams said it on a podcast. Look, we were trying to leave. The team made the decision we didn't want to be there. I knew that. But the greatest part about coaches is we keep things in a vault. But I could see that. What bugs me about the bubble is that I couldn't get them to understand that we had a chance to win a title. They wanted to go home more than they wanted to win. I still don't understand that. I'm too competitive. I really thought that team had enough. So maybe Denver was better, but I thought that we were. And then Mark Spears asked him, how do you deal with all the criticism you've received from the media and on social media for losing a 3-1 lead in a series four times? And this answer made me so happy because it goes in line with a take that I've had. But it is ripe for criticism. I mean, it is just ripe for criticism. So he was asked, Doc Rivers was asked, how do you deal with the 3-1 losses? And he says, it is what it is. It's part of my legacy. There's nothing I can do about it. But I got a team that was an 8 seed up 3-1. That's coaching. That is not bad coaching. The one with the Clippers is the only one that got away. People don't realize that in 2015 with the Clippers, Chris Paul was running on one leg and we were the underdog. Houston had the home court, not us. No one tells the real story. It's unfair in some ways. I don't get enough credit for getting the 3 wins. I get credit for losing. I always say, what if we had lost to Houston in 6? No one would care. One of the things I'm proud of is we've never been swept. All of the coaches have been swept in the playoffs. My teams achieve. A lot of them overachieve, and I'm proud of that. Doc Rivers is arguing that if he never got that 3rd win, you wouldn't care as much about all the series that he lost. Losing in 6 games, losing in 5 games, that's nothing. Getting swept is something. He's never been swept. Losing in 7 games when you won 3 already, that is something. And it's not like he's crawling back and then losing in game 7. He's going up 3-2. He's going up 3-1. And what this first made me think of was one of the things I say when people try to compare LeBron to Michael Jordan. Because Michael Jordan has never lost in the NBA Finals. He never has. But he has lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. But that doesn't matter because that was part of his story to get to the NBA Finals. He had to beat the Pistons. And once he finally did that, he would go to the NBA Finals and he would win. He is 6-0 in the NBA Finals. LeBron is 4-6. And for a lot of people, the fact that he'll never have nearly as good of a record in the NBA Finals as Jordan already disqualifies him from the argument. He's been to 4 more finals, but again, he's now played longer, and there was a gap in Jordan's career where he stepped away from the game for a while. But I've always argued that I think LeBron gets too criticized for some of the finals he lost rather than celebrated for some of the finals that he won. Now, in some of these finals, he did lose with the Heat super team. Okay? So that is tough for the argument. But these finals that they lost to Golden State, I mean, they came down from a 3-1 lead to win an NBA championship because of LeBron. And then Kevin Durant had to go be acquired by Golden State, not because Golden State was getting greedy. They needed Kevin Durant to win. The Cavs team superseded what the Warriors were. They were better. When LeBron blocked that shot, they were better. LeBron and Kyrie, they were a duo, man. And if they had stayed together, who knows? But then Golden State got Kevin Durant, and in the next 9 games they played in the finals, the Cavs only won 1 of them. Should he be penalized as much for losing to those Golden State teams? Should he be penalized for that team in 2007 that he dragged to the finals? Gulkis and Mo Williams and God, I got to look up who else. So Doc Rivers is arguing I'm not getting credit for the three wins, which I like totally get, but that is just going to be anyone who has a career agenda against Doc Rivers, it's only going to be amplified with fodder like that. That's basically served up on a plate. They're going to be like, can you believe this guy? Can you believe Doc Rivers thinks he should be getting credit for the three wins? So it begs the question. It gets down on its knees and it begs the question. Should he get credit for those three wins? If he's the coach that has blown a 3-1, 3-2 lead, he's got to wear that. He has to wear that. But does he get credit taking some teams that overachieved? If you blow a 3-1 lead as an 8 seed, is it bad? Does it get lumped in with the others? Can you disqualify? Should we disqualify some of these finals losses from LeBron's 4-6 record? Should we say, should we do that? So I think apply this in other situations. Carlos, let's say I run a marathon. I sign up for a marathon.
You would not do that.
I did do a half triathlon solo once. So it can be done. The pedal fell off of my bicycle. I took second last. The guy I beat was 87 years old.
And he had a chance, too.
And I'm not kidding. I may be embellishing. He may have been 81, but he was in his 80s. If I run a marathon, which is 26.2 miles, and I, like, collapse at 24 miles, do I get credit for running the 24 miles of a marathon?
Oh,
or did I fail
Ashton,
the marathon?
You get credit for running the 24 miles, but you cannot say you ran a marathon.
Right. I did not finish a marathon.
Correct. You did not.
But I ran 24 miles in all of you suckers.
Maybe not me. I'm the bad example of that.
What if I climb Mount Everest but get 95% of the way there? Do I get credit for the 95% of climbing a mountain?
Yeah. Who's going to know about that 5%?
By the way, I do have a real question. How do people get down from Mount Everest once they get up? Is there a walking trail? No, don't you like actually climb the mountain, or is there like a path?
The hell if I know. I don't even know where Mount Everest is.
So if you climb the mountain, there's not like a helicopter waiting for you that says good game with video game music and it brings you down? There's not like an elevator?
What, do you get the guess what they said winter music? Like,
yeah.
The helicopter is just out there blasting it out of its speaker? Like, no, I don't think it works like that. Isn't the whole point of Mount Everest is because like the elevation? Can a helicopter even get up there?
Yeah, I think they have to go down the way they came, actually. You're right. I mean, if you climb Mount Everest, that's not even, you're not even like done. You got to somehow get down.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now, I put one foot on Mount Everest, I am immediately putting it out on social that I climb Mount Everest. And I dare you to like prove me otherwise.
You did climb part of Mount Everest. You did climb Mount Everest. Sure.
I'm telling you, one step. I dunk a pinky toe in the Atlantic Ocean. I swam it.
Sure. Some of these things. Like, if the risk of death is too much, I understand you want that experience, but that should be something we seek out virtually. Like, I want to know that I virtually have the physical strength to climb this mountain if I could. That and the running with the bulls, I have never quite understood why people want to do that. I mean, you could get gored to death. What is the thrill of that? And then what do people do? Like, run off to the side? Why even go? Isn't the point to, like, escape a bull trying to kill? But why would you do that? I don't understand how that's a real thing. Every year that happens, I'm like, what are people doing?
I'd do that.
The running with the bulls?
I would love to do it.
Why?
just to say that I did it, because I would be the first guy jumping over the, like, I get right at the start line, I'm jumping right over that wall. Immediately. The bull doesn't even have to come out.
See, that doesn't, you didn't do it then. You got to run with the bulls. So I think.
But I was there.
But I think I'm answering my question is, you got to do it to do it. So I understand where Doc Rivers is saying these three wins got to count for something. And I understand myself saying, hey, LeBron. But I don't know. I don't think that I can agree with Doc on this one. I think I have to change my take about LeBron. So Doc Rivers got me to change my take about LeBron. Interesting. 888-710-4ISN. We've got Call or Fold. That is next on the Bart Winkler Show.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. We love big money on the Bart Winkler Show.
You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW.
The cards are on the table. Bring in the high rollers.
Hide the money, y'all. There's poor people around.
It's time to put up or shut up with Call or Fold.
It's like I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something.
Here's Big Bucks Bart Winkler and Cold Cash Carlos Ortiz.
Tell them to bring me my money.
Yeah. Call or Fold every Tuesday, pending Bart actually showing up for work on the Bart Winkler Show in the Infinity Sports Network. Call or Fold basically gets you the stories of the day slash week, and Bart will call fold maybe once in a while on special occasions like holidays. He will raise. It's basically by ourselves, but jazzier. All right, Bart, let's start here. Four-time Pro Bowl wide receiver Stephon Diggs and the New England Patriots have reached an agreement on a three-year, $69 million deal that includes $26 million guaranteed. Stephon Diggs joins a revamped wide receiver room, including Mac Hollins. We all know him from his crazy outfits in Buffalo.
Kendrick Bourne, so funny, dude.
Who, Mac Hollins?
He's so funny, dude.
Oh, yeah. You like that, you know, like wearing the Buffalo, the high order of the Buffalo outfit?
He's so crazy.
He's a doof. So anyway, he's a Patriot. Kendrick Bourne's still a Patriot. Third-year player DeMario Douglas, is in that wide receiver room. Did I mention a new head coach? That's Mike Vrabel. Well, I just did. Call or fold, Bart. Drake May will take a significant step forward for the Patriots.
I would say, without defining what the significant would look like, I would say call. Yeah,
call.
I think Drake May is going to improve on what he was a year ago. He's got a number one receiver. I think he's excited about that. They're going to continue to try to add more weapons to the arsenal, perhaps even Travis Hunter. He's got a head coach that I think he knows is going to be there for a while. And this is the classic, this is a classic move. I always said I wanted to be somebody, when somebody has a long run, you want to replace that guy. You don't want to be the one. You want to be the next guy to replace that guy. I've always volunteered, hey, whenever somebody has a long run, I'll be the next guy to step in. I'll host that show for a while. I'll be the play-by-play man. I'll absolutely suck so that everybody hates me, and then for the next guy, it's not so bad. Because now Mike Vrabel's not replacing Bill Belichick. Mike Vrabel's replacing Gerard Mayo. And he doesn't have to worry about all that stuff. So I think the weird, hey, this is new with the Patriots is kind of gone. And now we can focus on getting the team better. And yeah, I think Drake May is going to be in a better situation overall than he was at the start of last year. So yes, I think that he will improve significantly, maybe. But I've called it and I will play the hand. So yeah, call.
All right. Well, it's already a good start considering I think last time you did this, you folded every single game. So I'm glad we were able to break
that
streak.
Cards. I didn't have the cards.
You literally just saw the deck, threw it in the water, and just walked away. Still spent your money somehow. I don't know what you do with it, but there's your money. All right. The NFL's competition committee is likely to propose a change to the league's kickoff rules that could raise return rates next season. The proposal will spot touchbacks at the 35-yard line rather than the 30. The kickoff rule was created with safety in mind, but its current iteration has essentially made returns a dead play. So, I ask you, call or fold, 35-yard touchbacks will incentivize more returns.
No, fold.
Fold.
I think what teams are going to like is that they know where the other team's always going to start from. There's going to be some teams that try to get crazy with it, but I don't think this is going to do much. Hey, for the millionth time, I will tell you what to do. Why do we kick off from the 35-yard line? Back it up to the 25. We're trying to go in this tight little window of like, what to do, what to do. Just move it back. Why? This might be the one thing that I think should be changed. I don't understand why nobody even thinks about it. Kick off from the 30. Kick off from the 25. Kick off from the 20. Instead, if you want the ball to fall short of the end zone, move the kickback to where the ball is going to eventually fall short of the end zone. This isn't rocket surgery, folks. Get it done. God, this one actually makes me mad.
Yeah. It's,
anyway.
I definitely want my surgeons to have operated on rockets before I let them touch me.
Oh, that's a joke, Carlos.
I'm
plus 110 IQers.
I am being very serious. I want my doctors to be the smartest people in NASA. All right? I want you to be so smart that you have a completely different field of medicine. I want to be the first cyborg. Because I don't want, I do not trust humans. AI, if you're listening, I'm being nice to you.
You know, sometimes people come back from a day off or two and it's like, I'm rejuvenated for my work. I'm like more mad about everything than I've ever been. Maybe because it's been bottled up in me and I can't like just scream sports takes to my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, honey, why don't they move the kickoff back 5 yards instead of playing with the touchback?
Yeah, this isn't your job. This is your court-appointed therapy sessions. All right, let's go to the next story here. And this one's courtesy of Puka Nakua. It means no football past age 30.
Wow!
I was tone deaf as hell. Anyway, I want you to take a listen to Puka Nakua. This is courtesy of the Join the Lobby podcast, because everybody has a podcast, and I don't even know what the hell this one is.
Whose is this one?
I don't know, and I don't care, but Puka shares why he wants to retire at the age of 30 years old.
I want to have a big family, just like I want to have at least a starting five. I'm like, I came from a big family.
Oh,
so
he
I'm like,
said
I need,
he won't fall.
I need five boys. I need five boys for sure.
That's cool.
But also be like, man, I want to be able to like be a part of their lives and like be as active as I can with them. So I'm like, I don't want to be... The injuries are something that you can't control part of the game. So, like, oh, man, like, you never know. By the time my kids could be 18, I'm like, I could be barely walking.
Puka Nakua, his wife's gonna be worn out. Call or fold, the Rams should be upset about Puka's desire to quit young.
Fold.
Fold.
Look, Cooper Kupp's 30, right? They moved on from him. And... Puka's only 23, I think.
Yeah, he's 23. So
he's giving them... did you say that? Did I miss that?
No. I reaffirmed what you just said.
By the way, Join the Lobby is hosted by FaZe Swag and Matt Cracks.
Who?
And Matt is spelled with one T, one Z.
Am I supposed to know who these people are? I'm not even being facetious.
I don't know. I mean, who am I to judge? I'm on at 1:30 in the morning.
Who from what? What is he from?
No, fold. The Ram. He's got 7 years left, and he's telling him when he's going to retire. So, what do you think Puka Nakua is going to be when he's 30? He's not going to be this. I like it. I like that the guy's thinking ahead. I like that he wants to play football, get in, get out. He sees wide receivers retroactively getting in the Hall of Fame for their 7-8 year careers now. I like it. I'm all for it.
I really wonder what his wife thinks about it. She's like, no, please, play until you're 40. Good Lord. All right, stop me if you heard this type of story before, but the NBA and FIBA, which is the basketball's global governing body, have been in talks since at least last summer about adding an annual competition in Europe or an NBA-operated league. The NBA first played an exhibition in Europe in 1984 and has been sending teams there regularly for either preseason or regular season games since 93. And there are more foreign-born stars now in the league than there ever has been before. So, Bart, call or fold, we will get an NBA Europe League by 2030.
Yeah, they kind of want one. Aren't they voting on it soon? I don't... Yeah, I'll call. I think they're going to try. I don't necessarily think it's going to work. But I think they're going to give it a try. Because you want to have control, I guess, over the pipeline. And then you can send guys there and draft guys and develop them. But I think there's going to be... I think the countries throughout Europe are proud of the leagues they have. Even if they're not, you know, top dog, I think they're proud of the leagues they have. So I don't know. I'm not sure I'm pro... sports imperialism, as it were. But I do think they'll give it a try.
Yeah, I just remember NFL Europe.
I did like that.
I actually thought it stunk.
Not UFL this week.
Oh, yeah. We should definitely get somebody from there.
Okay, I guess not.
Maybe people are clamoring for UFO. No. I'll get my Memphis Showboats jersey out of the shed.
I'm wearing a St. Louis Battlehawks shirt right now.
I believe you.
It says Rock the Dome.
What a Battlehawk is beyond me, but they play in St. Louis, so I'm all in. Oh, you know what? I'll go get a Brahma. What was it? The San Antonio Brahmas? Is that what they are?
Yeah, the Rocks logo. Yep.
Yeah, I'll go get that with a bottle of Taramina and, you know, just whatever Brock movie is about to come out, and I'll watch all that stuff. And I support the UFL. All right, last one here. The Los Angeles Angels, say that three times fast, released outfielder Mickey Moniak. Why the hell do we care? Well, he's a former number one overall pick from the 2016 MLB draft. Bart, here are some number one picks recently that you might know. Paul Skenes, he's good. He dates Livy Dunn. Jackson Holliday, he's good. Adley Rutschman, really good. Here are some other guys. Henry Davis. Do you know who he is?
I'm going to say catcher, Baltimore.
Pittsburgh.
Oh, shoot.
Brady Aiken.
I don't know Brady Aiken.
And how about this one? Mark Appel.
Oh, yes. He was drafted like 7 years ago and then drafted again, right? He didn't want to go to Pittsburgh and then he went to Houston?
He got drafted by Houston and became the probably the biggest bust in MLB. So which leads me right into my question. Call or fold, the Major League Baseball draft is the worst draft of all sports.
Fold. I'm going to say it's Major League Soccer.
That doesn't count. Draft.
What do you mean?
Come on, we barely talk about soccer, period.
Okay, so are we talking the big four?
All right, listen, I respect your answer. All right, and I'll let you finish. I'm sorry that I'm Kanye-ing you right now. But let's take Major League Soccer aside and just, for the four major sports, is baseball the worst one?
No, hockey is.
Okay, I will take both those answers. Now, please, expand upon.
Don't they, like, draft in, like, a lobby of a Red Roof Inn? Where is this thing?
It's a Super Motel 8, all right?
Get it. But didn't last year they do it? Did they do it? Did they do it in the Sphere last year? Was that them?
I'll be very honest. I have no idea.
Boyle would know. Did they do it in the Sphere?
Sorry, what were you saying?
Where did the NHL have their draft?
Yeah.
Just recently.
The hell if I know.
I'm pretty sure the NHL had their draft in the Sphere in Las Vegas.
Just insert city or municipality convention center, and
yeah,
that's
I'm right.
Added.
I'm right.
It was at the Sphere.
Yeah.
Yep. You're right.
Look at me. Look at me, resident Infinity Sports Network hockey guy.
Slow down there, pucks.
Coming through. Boyle, how's your bracket looking?
Horrible. Horrible.
Yeah,
I had St. John's winning it all. Schmuck.
Why'd you fall into that?
What do you mean, why did I fall in that? They're the best defensive team in the country. Yeah, well, they can't hit a three all year. Yeah, well, even then, they shot 28% from the field, and they still could have won a game if Rick Pitino's dumbass had his best player on the floor.
Yeah, that's what the kind of
I trusted a coach that's one of supposedly the all-time greats, and he leaves his best player on the floor for the last 5 minutes of the game. Nice one, Rick.
Hey, you got his son in your update coming up?
I don't. He didn't make the cut, but maybe he should. Maybe I could throw it in there now so that everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, shout out Xavier.
Yeah, Richard Pitino is leaving New Mexico for Xavier.
Before we get into a million and one things, that's colorful because I really want to stop playing the music.
Time to cash out.
You don't need to play the eye. Just fade it down.
Pay that man his money.
No. We
just fade it down. Just fade it down.
We played the close. That's what I made it for. We played.
You always fade out in a montage.
What montage?
South Park. That's South Park.
Oh, no. I only watch good shows.
Oh, I got a great Simpsons thing that I thought of today that I need to tell you. So I'm not setting up a tease for the listener here. I'm setting up a tease for Carlos Ortiz.
I'm probably the person that appreciates it the most.
Okay, so that's what's coming up. And right now, we have an update from Pat Boyle. The voice of Ryan Racky, the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, was the call when Maryland beat Colorado State at the buzzer. Derek Queen taking the shot. So offensively, he's been doing pretty well. He's got 29 points so far in this tournament, 12 against Grand Canyon, and then a 17 against Colorado State. But he is also getting the most prestigious honor in sports, and that is the Bart Winkler Show's Defensive Player of the Week, which is brought to you by the Navy Federal Credit Union, proudly serving the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Not only is he doing it at the offensive end, he is doing it defensively as well. With 21 total rebounds in this tournament and 2 blocks in each of the 2 games to get to this point, Maryland advancing to take on Florida. That will be Thursday night, and we'll be coming on air right as that one wraps up. Should be a fun evening indeed. Derek Queen, your Defensive Player of the Week. Again, thanks to our friends at the Navy Federal Credit Union, NavyFederal.org. Some other college basketball notes to pass along to you, which are very interesting, is that the transfer portal is a complete and utter disaster. It is an absolute mess. The transfer portal, even though the tournament is going on, actually opened on Monday. In the last 2 years, the numbers have been pretty high. In 2023, we saw 175 kids on the first day of the transfer portal enter. Wow, that's a lot. This year, or last year, I should say, and I will say, we saw 291. More than 700 players hit the portal just yesterday alone before we even get into today. That is outrageous, including Justin Pippen, son of Scotty, former 4-star recruit, already represented by Clutch Sports. He is on Michigan. He plays about 6-7 minutes a night. He's entering the portal. Michigan's still in the tournament. We think these are student athletes. Do you even hear that phrase anymore? No. Now, I know it's spring break for a lot of people, but Alabama, they're not even trying. They were in Cleveland for their first couple of games. Do they go back to Alabama, get some study time in? Nope, they're flying straight to Newark for the second weekend instead of returning to Tuscaloosa. It's just crazy. These student athletes, they should be able to maybe like defer their education until their playing days are over if it's going to be this time consuming. Or can you like major in basketball and attach some classes along with it? I don't know. This whole facade of these are student athletes, especially when it comes to basketball and football. And now these conferences are all over the country. It's It's pretty insane. The phone number on the show and on the network is 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4ISN. I was talking earlier about Doc Rivers. He had an article or an interview where he says he should get credit when he blows the 3-1 lead all the time. He should get credit for the 3 wins. So that's making me rethink the arguments that I've had about LeBron and losing the finals. Should he get credit for going there? What do you get credit for? We'll get all into that with some of your calls coming up if you can hang on in just a few minutes. We've only got about a minute left. I had a Simpsons take that I meant to text you earlier, but since we're both here together, Carlos, I'm just going to tell you. Because, okay. Carlos, you had only watched up to like season 10 of The Simpsons before I told you there's 35 seasons. Continue watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I realize, what season are you on right now?
17.
And what have you thought of The Simpsons you've watched so far?
There are some ones that I should have gotten into earlier. It is funnier than I've given it credit for, so I appreciate you nudging me in the right direction. Not
but
all
overall,
of them. They're okay. Not the golden years, but they're okay.
Yeah, because The Simpsons are like a human. The first 8-9 years are glorious and magical. Then you're a teenager, and you're terrible, with some good spots. Then in your 20s, you're a complete and utter mess. So you'll get to that. And then in your 30s, you kind of regroup and become the best you, nostalgic but also forward-thinking. That is The Simpsons, Carlos. A human.
Oh, God, what's it going to be in my 40s?
Well, the season 20 episodes are very bad, that whole decade. All right, we'll be right back. Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.